then this woman emails us and says, oh, could you please cover Adam Walsh? And I'm like, why don't we just rename the show Child Murders? That still don't make any sense. That keeps you up at night.
Straight up evil. Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing. And now you're trying to feed him your bodily
thou
fluid.
Thou shalt kill all of your
fans. Everybody's had a dog, fish, a tampon out of the garbage. It ain't right
to bubble you, but you can pretend like you were a dog.
Wow.
Oh my god, excited.
Failing
children. Take care of your children.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hiya.
If you couldn't already tell from our song, tonight's episode is about a kid. Okay, so just
and we ain't thrilled.
If you don't listen to the kid episodes, big skip. Carly, you found this case.
I did. Thanks to Voices for Justice podcast. Thank you so much.
Her coverage is so
great podcast.
So good, but also she's ruined my life just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now you have all these
she's
causes.
Changed my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Because now we're now we're haunted. It gives me
Jalik vibes.
Jalik vibes too. Yeah.
Yes.
Jalik through and through.
Very 100. Similar.
Absolutely. Very similar. Well, everybody, we are talking about 10-year-old Jesse Wilson, who in July of 2016, he went missing from his Buckeye, Arizona home. He lived there with his two siblings and his adoptive mother, Crystal Wilson. He had apparently left the home out of his bedroom window in the middle of the night, and he was missing for 2 years before his remains were found in a field a few miles away.
Nope.
If you want to do a big old skip for this one, I understand. But if you're in it for the long haul, Quinnies, power to you.
Yeah. But at least if you're not going to listen, just read the show notes and see if you recognize any of the circumstances.
Exactly.
Call someone, share
the info. Right.
Yes.
Share.
Sunday, July 17th, 2016, in Buckeye, Arizona, 10-year-old Jesse Wilson was in his room when his adoptive mother, Crystal, saw him go to bed around 9:30 p.m. A few hours later, around 1:30 a.m., July 18th, Crystal checks on Jesse in his room and finds that he is not there. He's nowhere in the house and had likely left the residence on his own. So right away, benefit of the doubt, I don't know if she went to bed. So like for me, if I'm up, they go to bed, I'm staying up, I'll check on them before I go to sleep. So like maybe she was up that entire time.
But also that
a normal
multiple times in this case, but there's just too many times.
So he's not there. But according to Crystal, this isn't necessarily unusual in the Wilson household. Jesse apparently had a habit of climbing out of his second floor window in the middle of the night. Mind you, I saw a picture of the house. It is not a low window. It is high up. I don't know how.
I struggle with this.
This is what we're hearing from Crystal.
Exactly.
However, we do know at some point about 3 months earlier in April of 2016, Jesse either had jumped from his window or somehow left the residence in the middle of the night, and he would actually be found in his neighbor's yard several doors down. And this time he was dressed for school with his backpack on, like completely dressed with his backpack ready to go. But the neighbors called the police to alert them that he was there. When the police asked what he was doing out in the middle of the night and dressed. Now, I watched the body cam footage and people say that Jesse likely said, because it's hard to hear, he says, I used to go to school in the middle of the night. But it also kind of sounds like he says, I'm used to going to school,
in the middle of the night. Yes.
Either way, he's out in the middle of the night waiting to go to school the next morning. So he's just out there wasting time until he has to go to school at like 7-8 o'clock in the morning.
And I feel like that's very significant.
Very significant.
Because he clearly wants to go to school and the school is A+ in the story.
A+.
So yes. I feel like he clearly likes being there.
But why does he need to go and leave his home in the middle of the night to get there when everyone should be asleep? So the officer thinks he says used to. So he goes, oh, you used to? Do you still go to school in the middle of the night? And it seems that Jesse nods and the police officer just goes, like, okay. And again, this is all around like maybe midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning. So the time that we're talking about currently when Jesse leaves and Crystal finds him gone, she calls the non-emergency line to speak to the police and report that her son seems to have leapt out of his window in the middle of the night, which he had done several times before in reference to the situation I just spoke about. And I listened to the 911 call and it is interesting. to say the least. First of all, she calls the non-emergency line, not 911. So we all know how I feel about that. We all know.
Charlie's already feeling
that. It's a red flag, though. It really is.
Again, maybe it's kind of normal because she's used to him leaving. It's not necessarily an emergency. He's supposed to come back, right? She says he's done this before. The gentleman, meaning the police officer who works this area, has dealt with him before in this situation. And she says he's always ended up coming home by the morning. Okay, great. However, then why are you calling the non-emergency line when you first see that he's gone at 1:30 a.m., not giving him the quote-unquote chance to come back till early in the morning? You already are alerting them of him missing. So what's different about this time?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
She should call every time. Of course. She should be calling 911.
But she's not doing that.
So why is this time different that she's calling them right away and not waiting for him to return? Also, mind you, while she's talking to the dispatcher, she does not seem alarmed. She seems very calm and honestly kind of weird because she's like hesitant on Jesse's age. She like kind of stumbles over what age he is. Not like she says something different. She just can't even think of what age he is at first. Then when the dispatcher asks her multiple times what her address is, and she's like, what are the cross streets? Yada, 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 trying to figure out where she is. Till finally, like a few minutes into the call, the dispatcher says like, I can't find West Davis Street or West Davis Rose that you gave. I just like can't find it. Because then Crystal goes in a calm, totally not alarmed way. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so delirious. I meant Twilight Trail. All right.
Minutes are ticking by.
Minutes
and
are ticking
10-year-old
by.
The 10-year-old is not mm-hmm. accounted for.
A 10-year-old child. Granted, they had fairly recently around this time, maybe like within the last year or so, had moved from Avondale to Buckeye, where they live currently. But I'm not exactly sure of the timeline. And I'm not sure that West Davis Street is even their previous address. I don't really know where West Davis came from. Either way, it's off. Again, it's just a little bit strange. She doesn't remember the age of her child. She doesn't know her own address. Also, again, she calls a non-emergent line, not 911. And it's weird because why wouldn't you call 911? But also like, okay, she says that the police have dealt with the child in this manner before. So did she ever call 911 any of those other times?
Yeah, we don't know.
If this was not an emergency, if this is not a quote unquote emergency, why did she bother to call at all? Also, the only thing I can find, I scoured the internet for this. The only thing I can find about the police being alerted to those other instances is when the neighbors called, when they found Jesse in their yard. I can't find any other time to confirm that Crystal called herself. So why'd you call this time? Very interesting. So dispatcher asks for a description of Jesse and what he's wearing. I didn't actually hear this part, but it is notated that she says he is a black male. He had black hair, brown eyes. He was at the time about 4 feet tall and 60 pounds. And he was last seen wearing a red shirt, black socks, shorts, not known of the color, and black shoes. Okay. Not
in
really.
Bed?
Exactly.
And also like, that's really specific too. Like
so everything is specific, like, but you don't remember the color of the shorts.
And he's not in pajamas.
You remember his black socks on top of his black shoes, but can't remember what color of shorts he's wearing. And he's wearing fully dressed clothes and shoes to go to bed at 9:30 at night while he's seemingly been and in the home all evening.
You could say, right?
He's
kids
10.
Sometimes pass out.
No.
You know, sometimes kids pass out in the backseat of the car, a long car ride. You just literally pick them up, put him in the bed, it's over.
Too
right?
many.
Unless
too
you're,
many.
But again,
unless you're Diane Downs and you take them for
to see the sights.
See the sights at midnight. Yes.
Diane.
But like, it's just too many times with this shit.
She said she saw him going to bed. So why is he fully dressed? Like in the bedroom.
Right. Why is he not in pajamas? It's too many coincidences.
It's too many kind of weird things.
Yes.
Again, in all of the other incidents, allegedly, according to Crystal, he always returned home in the middle of the morning for wee hours. But at this point, this call, at the most, Jesse could have been missing for like 4 hours, right? Because she allegedly last saw him at 9:30. She notices he's gone at 1:30 and immediately calls. Meanwhile, she has other children at home. She has Jesse's twin sister. Some other sources stated it was just his sister, but others state that it was his twin.
A twin, yeah.
And their older brother, who all were adopted by Crystal. And apparently, this could be why she did not go out herself to try to find Jesse, but it's never really talked about. She calls about it, doesn't necessarily go looking for him in any capacity, and that's it. Either way, Jesse is officially reported as a runaway because of how Crystal has reported the situation. But either way, a search begins. At first, the police, they come, they ask the neighbors. This time, no one has seen Jesse. And police immediately say that the situation is critical because they're in Arizona in July. It is a very high temperature weather. It was like in the three digits in the middle, you know, in the daytime. As far as they know, Jesse has no access to water that they know of. So 100 volunteers, neighbors, law enforcement, and federal investigators would search for Jesse. He doesn't arrive at school. School gets involved as well. The search perimeter would extend to like 5 to 10 miles in all directions from Jesse's home on Twilight Trail. But this is where it gets just more red flags, Quinnies. Okay. So in just a few days into the search and into after Jesse's disappearance, no one has heard from him. No one has seen him anywhere. The Buckeye police bring in the canine unit. They're searching with canine units. They're searching with drones, helicopters, dive teams, everything. And they also have a cadaver dog unit. We know where this is going, Quinnies. This one particular cadaver dog was sniffing around the property, and he would actually sit down and alert near the back of an SUV that belonged to a one and only Crystal Wilson. Mind you, this is not just a search and rescue dog. This is not just like a dog missing, like searching for a missing child. This is a cadaver dog.
Right. So these are what we had in Madeline McCann. They're looking exactly. for deceased.
Right.
Yes. So they're keying in not on just his scent.
Correct.
They're keying in on
human remains.
Remains. Okay.
Correct. According to the documents about this one particular instance, when questioned about this, Crystal immediately asks for a lawyer, and then police were, quote, no longer able to question Jesse's mother. And it's never mentioned ever again. They did a great job. They deserve all the treats.
Gave you all the information. Gave you
all the information you needed.
And you're just like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the search continues. Searchers are actively combing the entire area for weeks. They're poking around bushes, knocking on doors, again, like using helicopters and drones. They find absolutely nothing. Jesse's school was also very involved in the search. He attended the Bradley Academy of Excellence in Goodyear near Buckeye. That following Saturday after he went missing, his school actually got together and they did like a convoy of like these brightly decorated cars and the school buses. And they drove the 10 miles from like his home to the school to like bring awareness, because many of the cars had like painted hashtag lead Jesse home written on them in yellow paint, which was Jesse's favorite color. And at the end of that drive, there was a spotlight that awaited all the volunteers in the school's parking lot. And they would actually put a desk painted in yellow with Jesse's name on it in the front office waiting for him to come back, because he was still enrolled at the school, even though it was the summertime. Mm-hmm. He was enrolled to come back the following fall. So they're like an active part of the search this entire time. They're acting as a liaison between the media and Jesse's family. They would put yellow ribbons everywhere along the path where Jesse would have taken from school to his home, or from home to school rather. At some point, they even let Crystal like live and stay in the school for a short period of time, like in a conference room, so she wouldn't have to keep going back and forth. So Jesse had been going to the school since they lived in Avondale. And even though Buckeye was like farther away and out of the school district, he was still able to attend there. Months are going by. The Buckeye Police Department continued to be the lead agency on the case. The investigation is ongoing, but there's really no movement whatsoever after that point. Like, there's nothing. But in the meantime, they're like, why don't we look a little bit into Jesse's home life? What was going on there? I would love to know. So they look into the home life where he lived with Crystal and his siblings. And unfortunately, we really don't know much about Jesse's early life or a lot about him as a child, much at all. I was able to find like his biological dad. He said he was a very happy baby. He was always smiling. He was a good baby. We do know Jesse was placed in the foster care system at 9 months old, along with his twin sister. But we don't really know the details of what happened or why he was taken out of his biological parents' home. But Detective Tamala Skaggs, she was one of the detectives investigating the case, and she was doing a lot of the news conferences, the press conferences. She described Jesse as a bright, energetic, caring young man who was well-liked by his friends and his teachers. But before Jesse disappeared, apparently the Wilson household didn't seem like too different from other households. But the investigation would certainly find out some things. Most notably, 2011, the Arizona Department of Child Safety, the DCS, they were given an anonymous tip about alleged abuse or neglect and malnourished children in the Wilson home. And this was back when they resided in Avondale. And this is in regards to the 5 children that Crystal had in the home at that time, including Jesse, and they were all adopted as far as I could find out. This is also around the time that Jesse is seen in the neighbor's yard at night and the police were called. like I mentioned earlier. First, an Avondale police officer visits the home, and these are his findings. I'm about to read you the report, quote unquote. He says, I was escorted to the boy bedroom, which is located on the second floor of the residence. I observed two boys of about 4 years of age sleeping in separate beds with the lights off. I requested Crystal to turn on the lights in the bedroom, which she did, and the boys awoke from their sleep. I observed the boys each had a harness strapped to their backs, similar to a backpack with shoulder straps. There was a 3 feet in length string attachment to the shoulder harness, which was then connected to the post on the bed. This attachment allowed sufficient movement on the bed, but prevented the boys from leaving the room. Crystal related that on one occurrence, while she and the other children were asleep within the residence, at about 2:30 one morning, both boys got out of their beds and unlocked the front door to the residence, exited the residence, and went to play in the mud. This is not the quotes anymore. The officer saw Crystal remove the harnesses, give the kids breakfast. The officer then saw them watch a, quote, educational type program on TV. Lots of food in the kitchen. He didn't notice any injuries on the children, and ultimately determined there was no evidence to support any sort of child abuse. So he left the home without incident.
How is that not a sign of child abuse?
How in the world? I asked DCS, so we'll see what they if they answer my email, because I would love to know.
You have two kids in harnesses, sleeping in harnesses. So
that's insane to me.
If they're leaving the house in the middle of the night, get a new security system, get new locks, like figure something else out.
Honestly, like when you start to really take a step back and be like, okay, if it was my child, obviously no one wants their child running out of the house
and
in
the being
middle
unsafe,
of the night.
Of course.
But like your next thought is not bolt them to the bed. The thought is like secure the door.
If
like
you're
that's what I keep
family,
going
maybe.
Back to
like,
with
the Turpin family.
With the Turpin family and with Jeannie and with and with Jesse himself. If we have a problem with the kid leaving out the window, disable the window.
She didn't say that these children, these are 2 4-year-olds, by the way. She didn't say that these children left out the window. They left out the front door. There is an easier remedy to that situation.
Right.
No matter
absolutely.
What. If it is true, again, that's if this is all true. Why do you have numerous children trying to leave your home in the middle of the night?
Well, yeah, what's going on? Why do they want to leave?
What's going on in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
It also reminds me of the family from the movie It Takes Two with the Olsen twins.
Yes.
I love her when she goes.
So much. The butt kisses.
The butt kisses.
Yes.
You're going to be little Betty Butt Kiss.
I have seen that movie so many fucking times.
Love
Dude,
that
me too.
Movie.
I love that
movie.
Love
it.
So good.
Over the Fence. World Over Series. The Fence. World Series. Oh my God.
Love.
It's Swinny.
It is. It's the butt kisses. Absolutely it is. To make matters worse, neighbors said that they also saw the harnesses on the bed when they helped the family move out of their home in Avondale to Buckeye.
God.
What do you do when you see that? And the police went and saw and nobody cared.
And just said, oh no, everything seems fine. So fine. Really also don't appreciate the lack of detail in that report. Just saying
that is
there
very,
was enough
no,
food.
Exactly. What does
no,
that mean?
I would like to know every single item. I would like to know. Yeah, I'd like to you know. To catalog
exactly
how
what
much food
educational there. Program was it? I want, yeah, please.
You know, it was know. Like Cocoa Melon or exactly. something. You know what I mean? Like exactly. it was not.
We're not.
No. Not watching Bill Nye. Okay. Right. They're
yeah.
watching.
It sounds to me like he's trying to give her way more credit than credit is due.
Absolutely.
To me.
Well, then DCS comes for a visit. So obviously something's going to get done, right, Quinnies?
Yeah, they're going to save the day. We've become cynical over the years of this show. And
yes, we
have. Trust no one and nothing. Okay.
Nope.
DCS comes for a visit. Crystal tells DCS investigators, everything's fine. I'm a great mother. I don't drink at all. If I have any alcohol in the house, it would be for cooking because I cook for my children all the time. Couple steps more into the home and they find 12 liquor bottles on display on her dresser in her bedroom. And there's nothing in the fridge except for some liquids, which would equal a bottle of wine, boxed wine, liquor bottles, no juice, no water, milk, anything, food, cheese, drink, like anything. But she doesn't drink. She just like, you know, some she's cooking not, sherry,
yeah.
just some cooking sherry. That's it. I obviously cook with tequila all the time.
Like
who wouldn't?
It's just,
I mean,
it's,
who wouldn't?
And even if you were to do that, like it's such a negligible amount that you would add to cook with.
No,
it doesn't even, it's not even a, it's no. not even worth a bottle. It's not even worth half a bottle. It's not worth a quarter bottle of wine
exactly.
to cook with. Like you just,
exactly.
It,
There's
it
no,
makes no sense. sense, Chris.
It also doesn't equal 12 bottles of liquor on your dresser, like a shrine to them. Like,
no.
Like, what are you, 21 with your liquor bottles out on
as your decorative?
Come on.
Well, that's not it, Quinnies, because she also tells the investigators that she's never locked her children in their rooms, never done that. But when they look, the door handles have been removed and flipped backwards so that the lock faces out. So she may, in fact, lock them in their room. They also find the harnesses tied to the bedposts. Crystal also says when asked, no, she does not have any drug problems. I have no problems with drugs. Mm-hmm. Well, they go back into her bedroom and they find an actual tub of medications under her bed, including Risperdal, Clonidine, Abilify, and Haldol, which are all antipsychotics. I also read in other sources that they found methadone, which is found in the tub of medications, which was prescribed to Crystal, which we know is used for people undergoing treatment for heroin addictions. Now, when asked why she has this entire tub of medication bottles under her bed, Crystal claims, oh, well, Jesse and his older brother suffer from bipolar disorder and ADHD. So they're given to them.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense because none of those medicines are for those things. So that makes no sense.
Also, what's really, really hilarious is that DCS lists no psychological or behavioral problems for Jesse whatsoever. Her stating that they suffer from bipolar disorder and ADHD has never been corroborated by any medical physician, any DCS investigator, any school nurse,
right? There's no record at any time. There's no record of it.
It's just enraging.
Didn't this happen with Jalik? Like, didn't they say, oh, well, he has ADHD?
Yes.
He has, you know.
Yeah. And he had all these problems, right?
Could very well be the
could
case.
Could be true.
And that's
no diagnosis.
Understandable.
And besides, like, they're juvenile, so we're really not going to know if there was a problem. The public's not going to know
but
that
DCS
they had.
DCS would find something.
DCS
like that
would
out.
Know. And fucking Haldol is for schizophrenia.
Right.
Okay? And that's what Andrea Yates was on. That is a hard,
it is
or antipsychotic.
So I'm wondering, like, okay, are these actually Crystal's medications? Are she actually prescribed them, or is she just taking them recreationally?
Like, or is she just like selling them?
She's selling them,
exactly.
Right? Well, can we all just agree that she's selling them?
I can agree, but like, I also wouldn't be surprised if she's taking them recreationally in some way.
Yes. Right. Sure. I will
on the side, popping one every now and then.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that did it, Quinny? So do you think that?
Yes. That's it. Now,
end of story.
End of story.
That's it. It's done. It's discovered.
Everything worked out. A couple years later, 2013, there was another incident with DCS. This time, investigators found that Jesse had a 1-inch welt on his left cheek. It was red and it was raised, and Jesse stated that his mother hit him in the face with a belt. The welt came from the belt buckle.
I hate this.
All in all, there are 400 pages of documents from DCS notating these incidents that I'm talking about and more, and all the correspondence with the Wilson household. This is while Jesse is living there. Okay, that is not normal or okay. If you need to have 400 pages of documents that you've gone to visit and found this, this, that, and the other,
yeah, it's not good.
Something is not right, and
red flags
should not be there.
And how, and again, and we say this all the time, it's the most frustrating thing on the planet that no one is recognizing this at this point.
Oh, well, they were, Quinny.
They are, but they're just not.
But nothing's being done.
They're not acknowledging it, right? So they're recognizing it, but they're not acknowledging it. Or they're recognizing it and it's not being said properly or relayed properly.
Or the police officer thinks it's fine.
And so meanwhile, you have yet another case where lives could have possibly been saved, changed, and instead we have this case that we are covering tonight. Yep. And it's just really freaking tragic.
Jesse is one of like 5 children in the home at this point. At school, all of the school teachers are noticing that all the children from the Wilson household
are neglected.
School with shoes on the wrong feet. They're coming to school extremely unkempt. Their hair isn't brushed. Their teeth aren't brushed, their clothes are all a mess. Like, they're not being properly looked after. According to the documents, quote, Jesse and redacted, they're not telling them the siblings' names, are always hungry. Jesse states they do not get dinner at home. They eat breakfast and lunch at school, and they take extra snacks. They eat everything on their plate, even the things that children do not generally like. They wipe the plate clean.
Because they're not being fed.
They're not being taken care of.
And you know what really pisses me off? Crystal alludes to this. She thinks she's slick, but she's not. Later in the one interview that she gives after Jesse goes missing, she says, oh, Jesse, he's so mischievous. He I call him my snack grabber. These are serious allegations that your children are not being fed properly. And you're going to tell the public, oh, I call him my snack grabber. He's grabbing snacks because he's starving.
He's starving. He's literally starving.
As well are his siblings. In a separate report, these documents detail that Crystal withheld food as punishment and would lock Jesse in his room for extended periods of time with no bathroom privileges, forcing him to urinate and defecate in his room.
Oh my God. What a hellacious life for this kid.
Seriously. Horrible. No wonder he's going out in the middle of the night to be anywhere else. Yep. Like in the middle of the night, it is blackout. Mm-hmm. It is a scary place for an adult person to be out. Like this child is more comfortable out there than in his own home.
Looking for food.
Looking for food and looking for an escape. When asked about whether she rations the children's food, Crystal tells the DCS investigators, quote, that if punishing the kids by not allowing them to have dessert is child abuse, then guess I'm guilty. That's not what we're fucking talking about.
Strongly
Crystal, and you know
encourage
it.
Crystal to call that lawyer that she said she wanted to call, who could advise her to stop making statements like this.
We're talking about dinner. They get home from school at 3 p.m. They don't eat again until 9 o'clock the next morning.
No wonder he's so excited to go to school.
Exactly.
He gets to eat, too.
No wonder he is flourishing there. Crystal also told the investigators that she has never physically punished her adopted children.
Okay, Crystal.
Very, very significant choice of words there.
Significant choice of words. Just rewind this episode like 3 minutes. I just mentioned that he had a welt on his cheek from when she struck him with a belt. Also, rewind like 30 seconds when I said that she locked him in his room.
Physical punishment.
Abuse.
Yes.
That's physical abuse, even if you're not hitting him with your own hand. Like that's physical abuse.
What about the kids in the harnesses?
Exactly.
Yeah, because you're leaving them helpless. You're leaving them helpless where they don't. That's not a form of punishment. That's a form of fucking torture.
It's torture. It is. Yes. It is. Yes, Quinny.
The kids are being forced to leave the house. Though all the siblings, they're going door to door to the neighbors asking for food. So like numerous neighbors corroborate this.
It's awful.
Children love to snack. That's a thing.
That's normal.
They do not
right.
go from house to house looking for food.
No.
There's a reason for that.
Properly.
Yes.
This isn't even it. This isn't even all of it. One of the neighbors, Timothy Hicks, said that Jesse and his siblings were locked out of their home and then knocked on his door to ask for some snacks and drinks, and he made them sandwiches. Later, when they weren't locked out of their home, they came back for more. Because they were still hungry. And this actually would happen 2 or 3 times. He also said that he saw once the children waiting in the garage for their adoptive mother to return for hours.
Oh my God.
2 sets of parents came forward to the press and said that their children, who actually went to school with Jesse, complained he was always stealing food because he was hungry. And one of those parents actually spoke to Jesse about this. And he agreed, like, yeah, I'm hungry. I need food. In March of 2016, just a few months before he disappeared, Jesse and his siblings were actually seen wandering outside a Walgreens for 2 hours by themselves. Police contacted Crystal, who said she was waiting to pick them up at their school. You're going to wait at the school for 2 hours for your children. And when they haven't shown up yet, you're just going to keep waiting?
No.
It was 2 hours. In April of 2016, the following month, police were again called when neighbors reported that Jesse was standing on the street corner. And this is about like 5 in the morning. Jesse had asked the neighbor for food. The neighbor said that Jesse told him he was hungry and scared. Aww. He was taken back to his home by the police and given back to Crystal. This poor child. He's only 9 or 10 and a little bit younger in these incidents. Like he's a small child.
And it's just like you said a little while ago, a normal child who's being raised properly and normally is not going around leaving the house at all hours of the night.
Begging for food.
Looking for food.
Exactly. Yeah. Normally children are not left to wander at Walgreens for 2 hours.
No, it's a red flag.
And yet still nothing was done. They documented these things and went on their merry way. So mind you, 2 years have passed. Thursday, March 8th of 2018, a Buckeye municipal employee would locate skeletal remains near State Route 85 and Broadway Road, which is roughly like 1 mile northwest of the intersection of those two streets. The bones had been scattered, but all in all, approximately 30 bones, including a human skull, were found. And now the spot where they were found was pretty remote. It's surrounded by agriculture fields, but it's within eyesight of like a major road, Interstate 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6 miles from his home. Police would use DNA from the bones, including the skull, and matched it to that of Jesse's biological father, and then confirmed the identity of the remains as those of Jesse Wilson. So while the remains were found within the original search perimeter, Jesse would have had to have walked 6 miles in the dark to make it there himself. A scared boy, no matter what if he's used to being out in the middle of the night, is not going to walk that far.
Nope.
Nobody seeing anything.
There's no food out there.
Exactly.
You Why stay would in he the neighborhood. You go through the trash. You do, you know, like you do whatever exactly. you have to do. There's no reason.
To a 24-hour McDonald's or doing something like mm-hmm. not this. Where they lived, like, yes, there were more remote areas with like fields and like strips of just fields and like once in a while a house and like fields and yada, yada. But on the other hand, there was also an area full of homes and commercial stores, everything like that. So like, it's not, the whole area isn't completely remote and nobody would have seen anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. not like that.
I tend to think that if you don't have somebody coming forward and saying, oh yeah, that little boy was in my neighborhood knocking on doors and asking for food, then I don't believe that he was there.
Agreed. He's not caught on any cameras from any storefronts, like nothing, no Ring cameras, nothing. So police did say that the area where his bones were found is possibly prone to flooding. And that may explain why the remains weren't found sooner when the crews were there searching with the cadaver dogs.
Kaylee Anthony.
Yep.
Yes. However, this point was actually refuted later because the Division of Irrigation was asked and they looked at the records for the timeline for around when Jesse went missing, because it seemed that he'd been there. The way that the bones were found and everything, it seemed that he had been there that whole time. They determined that this was incorrect. It would not have been flooded at that point in the middle of the July when it was extremely hot and it wasn't rainy season. That wasn't happening. It actually come to find out a police officer had mentioned this in passing throughout the investigation, and they took that and ran with it.
Because he heard it from somebody yeah. from Border Patrol.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
it's like random, like, what are we doing? Like, this is just a random CBP officer that's yeah. just like, oh, yeah, that area floods, so whatever. Yeah, sure. And then the cops are just like, oh, we that guy said it. Right. Like, right. now we have to confront the fact that this kid's probably been there the whole time?
For 2 years. It has not been flooded the entire 2 years, people. I'm pissed. I'm just pissed. So an autopsy report is done on the remains. Based on the dental examination, the medical examiner's office estimates that, like we know, Jesse was about 10 and a half years old, give or take 9 months at the time of his death. Meanwhile, an anthropology report by a one Laura Bulganitti, I want to say. She is of the Maricopa County Medical Examiner's Office. She wrote this huge report, and it shows that there is a pattern of damage to the recovered element that happens relatively early in the post-mortem interval. Basically, it ain't good. Essentially, though, it just, all that means is that it has been classified cause and manner of death undetermined. Cannot tell what happened because the elements have been involved. There is
and the damage bones to the are bones. Too destroyed.
We do yeah. not know if the if the damage was made early, right after death, right before death. Like, we don't know. Okay. We don't know any of the circumstances of his passing.
And we also don't, right. Nothing because happened. Of the flooding in the area too. They don't know if the body Brianna was moved.
Right.
Like the body could have been transferred.
Could have been transferred
due to water. So
and it the could water have been can dropped. Damage the bones as well. If there is water involved, I mean, obviously it's right. been raining. It's been 2 right. years. So like at some point, yes, it's come to those elements. But the anthropology report does state that Jesse had several broken bones and fractures. But again, it's not necessarily clear if those injuries happened before or after his death. So again, while the cause and manner of death is undetermined, police did state that they considered the death a homicide and they had not ruled out any suspects. However, at this point, they still hadn't named any suspects, possible suspects, or even a possible person of interest. Like, there's no one named.
Mm-hmm.
They also would not reveal any type of lead that they had aside from just finding his remains that they have to work with. They've basically got absolutely nothing. They've got nothing. But then the police chief, Hall, says, I'm extremely confident that this is going to get solved. I wish I could say it's closed, but it's not, because we haven't found the person responsible.
Thank you there, bud. I can't
throw my computer out the fucking window. So Quinny's, these past 2 years, what's been going on with Crystal?
Yeah, what's she doing?
Well, in the days after her son's disappearance, going back a little bit, she does give the one interview that she ever gave. She says, oh, well, Jesse loves school. He loves reading, but he has two left feet and he's too uncoordinated to play sports.
Okay, this enrages me.
Totally enrages me. You would never say it about your kid either. Like, literally, a mom is not going to get on the I'm not even a mom and I can say this, dude. If a mother's kid is actually that way, whether he's your biological or your adopted child, you aren't going to say those qualities about your
when
child.
They're missing.
When they're missing.
Dude, when, let alone whether they were missing or not. No, even whether they were missing or not, really. Like, you're going to say what your kid does that's good and like they thrive in. You're not going to.
What you love about sure, them. You're going to say what you love about them.
You won't ever discuss their struggles because, of course, you will. But it's like you're not going to just go out
throw
and,
them
and be
up.
Like,
yes.
My kid still can't remember his left foot from his right. You yeah. know, like you're not putting that shit on display. Like
what
like
relevance
that.
Does it have, Crystal?
None.
But then she goes, she breaks into sobs. She goes, quote, "This is your mommy. No one is mad at you. I just miss your loving, caring, sweet ways." But then she goes on to talk about Jesse's dog, who he loved. Don't know what kind of dog it was, but he loved him. Apparently, Jesse had begged to have this dog. Crystal openly admits that within 5 days after Jesse disappeared, she got rid of the dog because it was, quote, "too hard to look at him." It was hard to look at him because, firstly, it was Jesse's chore to feed his dog, and it made not having him there harder. She then also says it's hard to look at him because the dog reminds me of Jesse, because Jesse is loving, caring, and sweet, like we just said, like the dog is loving and caring and sweet.
It's just not appropriate.
No one is ever going to compare their child whom they ever. Love to ever. An animal.
To an animal.
Chuck Cheese.
The school right now, at the point that she's given this interview, will find a place for that dog to go. You could say, it's too painful for me. It reminds me of him.
Yep.
Please, can you find someone to whatever?
If your son was missing.
Quiddies, we're forgetting. She still technically, at this interview, still had Jesse's literal twin sister.
So if that doesn't remind you of the kid. Right. Yes.
You know what I mean? Come to find out, the investigation uncovers that Crystal previously had 6 foster children taken away from her in California.
Where have we heard this before? Crossing state lines, adopting children.
More butt kisses.
More butt kisses.
Montgomery's. What?
Oh my God.
So Jesse Wilson's mother, Crystal, was a foster parent in California before she moved to Arizona.
So infuriating. The whole disconnect from the states shit too. Unreal. How many times do we talk about that?
The DCS worker actually did ask Crystal the week after Jesse disappeared. She asked Crystal about the California children. When asked, Crystal could not remember all of their names, but claimed they had all been reunited with family or placed with other relatives. However, months after that conversation, documents reveal that the California CPS had removed all of the 6 children from her home, accusing her of withholding food as a punishment.
So this is all predating Jesse Wilson and his siblings.
Exactly. But the California allegations do not appear in any previous DCS case with Wilson, even though the agency visited her on 2 occasions. There is a place on the DCS reporting forms for listing prior history in Arizona or other states or jurisdictions. And that case where all 6 of her children in California were taken away is not listed whatsoever. So 6 months after the caseworker asks her about this, January 2017, DCS workers actually make a note to contact California authorities and obtain any records pertaining to Crystal Wilson. The deadline for obtaining those reports was a month from the date of the report, and that deadline would continue to be pushed back for at least 8 more months until it was finally removed by November of 2017, and nothing was done. Meanwhile, she had legally adopted Jesse and 2 other children, his twin sister and their older brother, even after this California case. And an additional note in the documents lists Crystal Wilson as still having an active foster parent license. However, I will say, when the Arizona DCS was asked about it, he states that the state law prevents them from answering questions about how Crystal was allowed to adopt these 3 children, or if DCS had known about the California case before the adoption. Okay? I still emailed them. We'll see what they said. After Jesse disappeared, his twin sister and their older brother, they were both removed from Crystal's home. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact timeline of when that happened, but somewhere in between Jesse missing and his remains remains being found, they were removed from
They got removed. Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God. There was a dependency hearing that was initiated by the Arizona DCS in a first move to completely terminate Crystal's parental rights to Jesse, if he was ever found, and his two siblings at the time. But Crystal didn't even show up.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
He didn't even show up. So the judge entered a default on her behalf, which allowed the process to continue. Then a woman named Cynthia Lauderdale, she claimed to be the biological grandmother of all three of those three children because she's the mother of their biological mother. She was attempting to gain visitation to the two children currently in DCS care, meaning Jesse's sister and brother, because they didn't know where Jesse was. And she did want to eventually get custody of them. But in an interview with the media later, she complained that she had actually petitioned to adopt Jesse and his siblings years earlier, but the judge told her she didn't have good enough credit score to adopt them.
I'm sorry, what?
If that is true.
I'm sorry, what?
I would like her to reach out to this podcast.
Cynthia Lauderdale, please call,
just email us. Send us an email, straightupevil@gmail.com. I would love to learn more about that. And I would love to understand why in the state of Arizona, it's okay to take something as discriminatory as a credit score into account.
I thought there were standards all across like every state was that they would want the children to be closest to their family members.
They would want a kinship placement, not necessarily a stranger in the foster system.
That's bullshit.
Meanwhile, the Buckeye Police Chief Larry Hall said that while public and media attention has decreased regarding Jesse at that time, his investigators were vigorously working the case. But he couldn't elaborate on like any of the items they submitted for testing, any leads that they had, no suspects are named, no persons of interest are named. However, I have to keep saying however, I'm so sorry. Okay. Detectives were seen taking numerous evidence bags from Jesse's home that contained items from inside, as well as Crystal Wilson's car.
Didn't they also release a statement that they were going to interview her again as well?
They were going to interview her, but at that point, she may have already moved out of state.
Mm. Mm. Cool.
I also completely forgot to mention earlier, when DCS and the police searched the home, when they looked at Jesse's bedroom, there are no items in his bedroom except for a mattress on the floor with a plastic cover, no sheets and no blankets. And he had one small dresser.
This is like Summer Wells.
And Summer Wells. Yes. Exactly. No toys, no personal items of any kind.
It makes you have that bad feeling in your gut. It makes you have that gut feeling in your stomach.
Absolutely, it does. Chief Hall said his investigators have not talked to Crystal since her initial interview and like one quick follow-up early in the investigation. And they were going to try to reach out to her. But he also confirmed Crystal has not reached out to anyone in the Buckeye Police Department for any updates on the case or to offer any additional information. The entire time he was missing. After Jesse's remains were found, Crystal was notified, but she had moved out of state as of March 27, 2017. So at this point, the Buckeye Police continue to lead the investigation. They did get some help with state resources and the FBI. To this day, no arrests have been made for Jesse's murder. And like I said, still no people of interest have been named, no persons of interest, no suspects, nothing. Jesse's school did keep his desk in the front office until they unexpectedly closed their doors in January of 2018 due to the principal and the registrar conspiring with some other school employees to over-report the number of enrolled students, and they would be indicted for the approximately $2.2 million fraud, and the school was closed down.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So that'll do it.
I'd say, especially when the school seemed like the one people that were actually helping.
I know.
God.
Not good. According to the Justice for Jesse Facebook page, an admin for the page actually posted that this past March of 2022, Jesse's biological mother also she's passed, and they hope that she and Jesse are reunited in heaven. They urge followers of the page to continue to write to the district attorney and the attorney general to see that justice is sought in Jesse's case, because we have nothing, Quinnies. Nothing. He has been found. His remains were found. Allegedly, tests were done. We got nothing. After one vigil where after his remains were found, his Jesse's biological father, had attended, and he stated that he had faith that his son's death will be solved and that the community and his family can finally have closure. He says, quote, "It's not closed yet. There is going to be justice for my son. They'll find out." And the community member said, "He is still alive in this community. His spirit is." So strangers who have never met him are still thinking about him, keeping his spirit alive in the community. Police do encourage anyone with any potential credible information about Jesse's case to contact the Buckeye Police Department at 623-349-6411 or email bpdtips@buckeyeaz.gov. And one other little thing I want to mention, which isn't necessarily related, but it's the murder of Kira Bergman. She was a 19-year-old who lived in Buckeye, and her body was found on September 3rd, 2018. So the same year that Jesse's remains were found. She had only been missing for a month, though. She went missing on August 4th of 2018, and she was last seen at her home. Her body was actually located about 4 miles south of where Jesse's remains were found. But in her disappearance and her murder, it is thought that her ex-boyfriend was involved, John Christopher Clark. A search of his car turned up like several stolen IDs, and he was actually arrested and charged with 22 counts of aggravated felony theft and 2 counts of forgery. Wow. But he would later be acquitted for Kira's murder. Huh. It's just weird to me, like, even though he doesn't necessarily have anything to do with
it. No, the fact they're found that close.
Yeah. They're so very close. Weird. Like, this is a small community that not big on crime, except for these two instances. It's very strange. Mm-hmm. It's just weird. McQuinney's final thoughts on Jesse Wilson.
I think that she will be arrested and charged in this case. I think that they are pulling a Sherry Papini a little bit and watching her take benefits or whatever she's doing. And they're just letting her rack it up
so they can just get her,
building it until one day
with all of it.
Yeah, I could see that.
They're going to want to charge her with more than murder because the remains left very little to be understood there.
Right.
So they're going to have a hard time proving that this little boy was murdered at all. So they're going to want to combine it with as much as they possibly can.
Everyone is in innocent or proven guilty.
Of course. No. I feel like it's also like a Matilda situation.
It is.
Because of the school, it just keeps reminding me of Matilda. And
like the whole never wanting to be home thing.
He was ready to go to school hours in advance in the middle of the night out in the dark because school was his only safe place.
Yeah.
You know?
And where he could get to have food.
The Bradley Academy. Where is the tuition money coming from? Where is the, like, I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked by the fact that he was in a good school. I mean, good school. We don't know what was the hell they were reporting, but
it was of excellence.
Of excellence, right? So, like, I'm interested to know how he got in there.
They also had to pay extra when she moved in order to keep him in because he was out of the district.
So I don't know what's up with that. I want to know, but I don't know.
Like, what have those other children seen and what's happened to them?
That's another piece of this too, is once they're old enough to speak for themselves, they may be able to provide some more information, definitely.
Like recall, have memories.
I'm hoping that they're in a loving home. I'm hoping that they're getting therapy.
Yeah.
Yep. I want to know, why did they move? I want a full detailed explanation of why they moved.
Yeah,
also, so the detail about him being locked out of his home. Oh, okay. So I see what's going on now. Now it's not the kids sneaking out. Now you're locking them out. Now it's part of this forced punishment thing.
Exactly. Right.
With all of this shit.
And all about control.
Being at Walgreens for 2 hours, roaming around by themselves. That?
And then I'm like, okay, Jesse and his siblings, whom we don't know anything about, but I'm like, there's 2 4-year-olds in the mix. Yeah. So I'm like, are there 4-year-olds in the Walgreens parking lot?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what, like, it just doesn't make any sense. For him to wake up in the middle of the night hungry and be so hungry that you have to go around the neighborhood, like you have to physically leave your house. That's not just like he missed dinner one time.
No, you know what I mean? Starved. No, you're starved. Fucking starved.
Out of the second floor window.
Yes.
And he knew he wouldn't be able to get back in. He knew that.
It's like, it's as if he didn't want to get back in.
If he wanted to, but he wouldn't physically be able to. He hadn't eaten since lunch. Sometimes, because of the way that the school day goes, lunch can be 10:30 in the morning. Lunch can be 11.
I don't know if I heard this right, Carly, but it's all of them.
Yes.
It's all of the kids that all are eating everything that they possibly can.
Yeah.
Yep. Multiple of the children went together door to door sometimes. All of them were reported malnourished by that neighbor, the neighbor tip or whatever. All of them at the school were noticed to be malnourished, hungry, shoes wrong, not their hair brushed, the teeth weren't brushed, nothing. All of those children.
Getch.
911 call?
Can't. But no, it's not 911. Yeah.
All right, sorry, not 911, emergency services call, which again,
the non-emergent line, which makes no freaking sense.
No,
she sounds like she's on medication.
Absolutely.
She sounds like she's on medication. She sounds really like I'm just, this has happened before. And she trails off a couple times. He's,
yeah, I don't like
what's
it.
What's your address? No.
And if you live in a neighborhood where you have kids coming to your door asking for food, first of all, feed them, go full Jim Hopper and leave food for them as often as is humanly possible. Just keep feeding them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this whole time. Mm-hmm. And time. All while you are calling the police and other proper authorities,
mark
making a
down.
Record.
Yeah.
This is when I saw this kid at
building
this time.
Building a record.
They looked this way. This is what time it was. This is what they were wearing or not wearing. Were they wearing a winter jacket when it was
it
freezing
is
out
not
or not?
Normal what were they? For kids to be walking around the neighborhood begging for food.
No, it
isn't. Not normal. Gotta tell somebody. Gotta tell as many people as possible.
Calling him the snack grabber.
I know.
I can't.
These little things that she thinks is
and
like
the two left feet. I do not like.
I don't
you know
like
what
it.
That reminded
the
me
dog.
Of too.
Like the dog.
It reminded me of Kenneka Jenkins' mom when Kenneka Jenkins, who we covered, her 911 call when she's totally calm and collected and explaining what the situation is. But when she's talking about her daughter not being able to handle alcohol, she doesn't make it out like, oh, she's a lightweight. She could never, whatever.
Right.
She's saying, no, she can't handle alcohol, but she's not mean about it.
No,
she's just like,
she's not putting
her
down.
She can't do it. It's a fact. And maybe it's a fact that he wasn't good at sports, but the way that she consistently insults him.
Exactly. She's not going to parade the child's faults.
Also, DCS, if you're going that many times, what does that tell you? Also, police officer, what does enough food mean? Report better.
Right.
Say what was in there. Did you see and also if there's enough food to feed kids, great. But did you see any gushers or something that a kid, kid snacks, stuff that a kid could just be
fresh food.
Well, fresh food would be great.
Anything.
But there's
even
something
normal
Kraft
kid
mac
foods.
And cheese.
Yeah.
Exactly. Something that a kid of 10 years old could grab and eat without help.
Peanut butter and jelly and some bread. What do we
like have? Anything. I would love to know what that enough food
also,
was.
Does it look like the kids are eating the food?
Are they eating the food? Are they clean? Is the house clean?
Right.
Are their clothes all ripped and torn and fucked up? Do they have sheets on their
this
bed?
This is all after he saw them in the harnesses, dudes.
We're not even talking about the 90s or something. We're talking about 2016.
Exactly. Just a few years ago. Not that long ago.
Yeah.
Listen, all of our Arizona listeners, all of our Arizona peeps, you got to tell us.
Please.
Do you have a lot of friends that were harnessed as children? Is this a thing? Do people not make a big deal out of this? Are they just whatever? I mean, I know Arizona is very much states' rights, individual rights. You raise your kid the way that you want to raise your kid. I know that's a huge Southwest thing, but
yeah, of course,
the fuck
is
going
on? The actual,
just like all a lot of the cases we cover on the show, the highway system being able to hop around from state to state creates a lot of bad
problems.
Situations.
Yeah.
It was not thought through. It was
does not look good at all. It doesn't look good.
Else?
Didn't she move out of state again?
Yeah, she latered immediately.
Yeah.
How much do you want to bet that she has kids right now? How much
Absolutely.
Do you want to
because
bet?
Because her license is, as far as we know, still active.
So exactly. good. So she probably has a couple kids in this state she's in, Quinny.
Even if she doesn't, it's the fact that she is technically allowed to.
She could.
Only two podcasts have covered this story.
Yeah, I had never heard of it.
I had not heard a single thing about it. Voices for Justice, luckily, covered it, so we heard about it. Could not find anyone else covering it except for like one other podcast I never heard about. It's not out there. And this is an important story to share. Like, this is important information. Like, how are these cases not bigger?
And I just feel like they're just put on a back burner and they're just left. They're just left there. It's a 10-year-old
kid who died. We don't even know his middle name.
Yeah, or who he was or how he was or like
what he loved. I know.
To me, he seemed like such a sweet kid from what we know about him. Look at his face.
It's just so tragic. So unbelievably tragic.
My first initial theory was that he got out of the house and went on the street and that maybe he got hit by a car.
Could have.
And someone didn't want to, you know, have to admit that they just hit and killed a kid, probably.
Like,
and
Aisha, so they, same.
And so they dropped him on the side of the road and left him there to be found, basically, you know, or not be found. After digging more and reading more articles and reading more shit about it and seeing what her background was, then the case really, really took a turn for me. And I had a very different theory by the end of it.
If something like that happened, Quinny, because that's a great point. He very well could have been hit by a car.
Yeah.
That's
one of the first things I thought.
And someone could have just freaked out and ran.
Being found close to the, and also the fact that he was found close to the interstate. But then I realized, like, he was found within eyesight of the interstate. But I realized, regardless of that, having that being an area that is known to flood, there's just no telling where the body was initially placed. Nope. There's just no telling. So,
except for the cadaver dog.
Yeah, except for the dog that was like, hey, hello.
Quinny's.
Jesse Wilson.
He's resting in peace.
I really hope so.
Poor little hymns.
We won't be forgetting him. We'll keep you updated on any movement on this case whatsoever. Hopefully there is some.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.